Well, good morning, Evangel. It's great to be with you this morning. I just want to just thank the worship team and the guys who are behind the scenes, been working like crazy to get us set up. When we decided we wouldn't be outside, and it was quite the ordeal in here. So I just want to thank everyone for doing that and coming together and making things happen this morning. I wanted to start off and just kind of talk a little bit about technology in regards to the sermon this morning. And technology is great. Turns out it doesn't work so well in the rain. And I've been fascinated with this idea of a robot servant. Okay, and so maybe you have too, and maybe you remember back at the time when there's these cartoons called the Jetsons, and they had this robot maid named Rosie. And we have an image of her right here, and she was awesome. She would clean, she would vacuum, she would cook, she would do all kinds of things. Now, maybe you're not familiar with the Jetsons, maybe you're thinking of something a little more current, and that would be something like BB-8 from Star Wars, right? This little droid is amazing and does all kinds of things to help out with the resistance fighters and those kind of guys. But as I was saying, we rely so much on our technology, from our computers that help us do our work, our smartphones that help us like schedule things, do reminders, and they do make phone calls from time to time. But we also rely on the internet heavily. It's where we do our research and where we're dependent on so many things, like even financial stuff. And so technology can be awesome when it works, but so frustrating if it doesn't. But if we could have a droid, right, that would make us breakfast, that would go and get groceries for us, or like give us this pie chart of what our family budget looked like for the month, that would be just amazing, right? Well, I'd love to see a show of hands of you guys who have used Siri or Alexa just to ask a trivia question or something like that. Unfortunately, I can't really see anyone right now or can't really hear horns honking or that kind of thing. But I know you're out there. I know you probably use those things. And you probably would love the idea of having a robot servant as well. I see the Holy Spirit is kind of like a robot servant for our spiritual life. He's our connection to God. Only the Holy Spirit is not programmed to just answer any of our trivia or help us figure out some type of a handyman's job that we need to do or something like that. The Holy Spirit is for our spiritual growth and our development of our faith. Now, if you're familiar with the pseudo-spiritual film Star Wars, the 9 episodes of it, you probably noticed that the droids, which are really helpers, are really pivotal and play crucial roles in how the story plays out. The good guys would, in fact, be lost if it wasn't for their droids standing in the gap at times. Now, the bad guys, interestingly, they tend to look down on their droids and see them as useless, and it always comes back to bite them. If we think about our own history as a nation, we've had some helpers that have changed the course of who we are. If we think about the American Revolution, if it weren't for the French who came and helped us and gave us supplies and trained the soldiers who brought ships and that famous blockade, if it wasn't for that blockade, the British would have never surrendered at Yorktown. And so our country, in fact, the whole world, would be changed if it weren't for the French helping. Well, our question this morning is, why do we want the Holy Spirit? Why do we want this helper that Jesus offers to us? Well, especially since this kind of helper that Jesus is offering to us, he's not going to do what we want. He's not going to fulfill our whims. He's only going to do what's best for us. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit in this sermon series, and we're just examining who this other third divine guy is. And it's Jesus who offers us this Holy Spirit as a helper, and Jesus who's convinced that we need the Holy Spirit more so than his own presence. Think about that with me. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is so much more important that his own presence is not as significant. And as I think about what Jesus' presence would mean in my mind and in my life, I kind of imagine Jesus kind of walking with me throughout my day, right? What would it be like to have Jesus come with me as I go to the grocery store? Now, he probably grabs some of those wayward carts that are in the parking lot and make sure they get to that cart return corral. Or maybe if Jesus came with me to the gym as we play basketball, would Jesus be just like shooting every 3 and making them, right? Or maybe he'd be passing the ball to his teammates, constantly and setting them up for easy layups and that kind of thing. What would Jesus do if he was driving? Right? If I let Jesus drive my car and that kind of thing, would he stop at the four-way stop and let like everyone else go and then go once everyone else had already gone? Would he, when someone like cuts him off, like not honk the horn and just wave at them with a smile? If Jesus was with us at every point in our day, how would that like change things? I think for me personally, as I kind of was thinking through this, I think it'd probably make me more bold to introduce Jesus to those who are around me. And could be a cashier. Hey, Scott, want to introduce you to my friend, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus. He's right here, right next to me. Right? It'd be a little bit easier because he's present with us. Now, the Holy Spirit is God in us. And so if God is in us, then he's with us wherever we go. And so one question in this is, do we want God with us? Why do we want the Holy Spirit? So we're going to try to examine this from two different perspectives this morning. We're going to look at kind of our natural fleshly motives, our kind of bad motives, okay? And then we're going to look at our good and more spiritual motives that we have for wanting the Holy Spirit, okay? So we're going to look at first, these natural motives, and I think we find four desires that we can look at pretty quickly and easily here. Our first one that we're going to look at, our first desire, is to want control. Right? And it makes sense. We naturally wish to control the things that are going on in our lives. But the problem is we don't always have the best ideas. So look with me in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. In this passage, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, if you're new to seeking God, or maybe if you've been following God most of your life, you've probably felt like, man, it would be so awesome. Like, when I pray to God, if the next moment, what I needed was there, right? And at times I felt like, man, God, I really need you to come through in this situation. I really need you to do this in my life right now, or else my whole world is just going to implode. The funny thing that happens when I'm doing that prayer, because sometimes I do it more often than I wish, and he always comes through for me, but not in the way that I thought. And because he didn't go the way I thought, my world didn't explode. You see, our God is so much more creative than we are. He knows so far beyond what we do. But when we think there's only one way in which our situation can be changed, our situation can be improved, and we plead to God for that one thing, we're really saying that our way is the right way. And God, you don't know of any other way. You have to do it my way, okay? And part of the issue with that is we're just seeking control. And we seek control because we want our life to be easy. We want our life to be comfortable and that kind of thing. And God wants so much more for us than that. The Holy Spirit works in our lives not to give us more control, but to help us, to help deepen that relationship with God, where we experience his influence throughout our lives and we can really trust his ways over our own. Now, our second bad desire that we're looking at, where what we want from the Holy Spirit, is we kind of want to be lazy, right? Let's look at Galatians 5:16 here. "So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And so Paul's talking about how we can relate to the Spirit well. And sometimes I kind of lament to God. I say, man, God, if you would just let us do some miracles like Jesus, this whole like letting people know who you are and demonstrating that you are in control would be so much easier, right? Imagine with me real quick, if we at Evangel decide to announce we're going to do a healing Sunday, right? And we do this healing Sunday and people come and we pray over them and we heal them of their ailments. Like people's heart disease is done. Right? People's knee injuries are taken care of. They're all healed up. They're better. Diabetes, taken care of. No big deal. You think like next Sunday that we need to go out and like call people into the building? No, we'd be packed in this place. And people would come and want to know exactly what is going on. What's the truth behind the power of this healing? Sometimes we think, man, if I just give everything over to God and allow him to work through me, then I don't have to do anything. God will take care of all that's going on. But you know what? God doesn't seem really to be interested in that. Instead, he's looking for us to walk with him. I want to break down this image for you. To walk with someone, you have to stay in step with them, right? You can't go too far in front. You can't lag behind. You can't veer to one side or to the other. Now, some of you may have tried to walk with a friend and kind of social distance during this quarantine time, and it's really difficult to do, right? It's just, it's not ideal. God desires that we walk with him, not that he would carry us through our entire lives, not that he would have to move our legs for each step that we take. He expects us to make some effort in it. He expects us to walk, to make a step. Now, walking really shows that we're in line with someone, that we have a relationship with them, that we're choosing to be with that other person. And that's what God wants from us. It requires us to trust and really to pursue God moment by moment in our lives. Well, let's keep going. We're going to be looking at our next bad desire from the Holy Spirit, and that's power. And Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, think of it this way. If you had like a genie in the bottle, you found this genie and you were making your wishes, and the genie had the unfortunate mistake of granting your third wish of unlimited wishes, right? And so you can now have whatever you want through the genie. He has to do whatever you ask and say. Now, what is your life going to look like, right? Are you going to have this like deep and authentic, trusting relationship with this genie? No, you're not. You're going to basically do whatever you want and use all of his resources and power for your disposal for whatever whim you might have. Now, there's lots of reasons God doesn't give us access, full access to his power. But all the reasons boil down to a priority of relationship. And this could be pretty difficult for us because we can think of all kinds of wonderful things that we can do if we just had the power of God, right? If we had God's resources, we could just snap our fingers and all of the hunger in the world would be done. Snap our fingers, all water would be clean and people wouldn't get diseases from that, right? Snap our fingers and there wouldn't be poverty anymore. There's so many good things that we think that we would be doing wonderful stuff, but yet God knows all things. And God knows the consequences of what our good could do. And part of our faith in trusting in God is understanding that God has our best in mind. He's not holding back on us in any way. His plans are to prosper us. His plans are for our benefit. And see, I don't think God wants his power to get in the way of our relationship with him. And it certainly, certainly can. If we are humble and rely on the Spirit to direct us, we're practicing a trust in our God instead of trusting in God's power. And that's not an easy thing to do if you're hurting this morning, right? That's not an easy thing to do if you really need God to just intervene. But I'll tell you one thing. God gives us an limitless supply, and that's his presence. God said he's always going to be there for us. He's always there to care for us, to hear us, to get us through. And so if that's you this morning, understand that God loves you. He wants that relationship with you. He wants to be there for you, and he always, always is. I want to keep going on our natural desires that are not good. And as we look to the Spirit, sometimes we want fame. There's this interesting story in Scripture in Acts 8, 18 through 20. And I have kind of the end part of this. Let me read that to you. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." So this is a really interesting story. And a little bit of background on this guy, Simon. He was a famous magician in his region. People were at awe at some of the tricks and some of his abilities that he would do and perform for them. So Simon, I think, became a believer in Jesus. He seemed to accept who Jesus was, and he saw the apostles doing this real power, this real magic, and he wanted that for himself. And maybe for his own purpose, I'm not really sure what his motives were. His motives may have been so that the fame of God could be spread further, right? But here's the thing. That wasn't God's plan. He asked Peter if he can purchase the Holy Spirit, and Peter rightly condemns the idea, and he's like, dude, God's not for sale. He's not your tool for fame, for attention. You see, sometimes I think we as Christians, and if we're maybe a public eye and that kind of thing, we desire this fame or desire this attention for the glory of God, but it's really our glory. And so we have to be careful of that, because the Holy Spirit is not here for our fame. Maybe you found yourself thinking and wanting one of these scenarios. Understand, the Spirit is not interested in our selfish desires. He wants a relationship with us. And so we have to give up those self-centered desires, and we have to give up those agendas that we might have, and our motives have to switch from ourself to God's desires in us. Now, what are some of these good motives that the Holy Spirit provides for us? I think the first one that we're going to look at, and there's a number of them this morning, is foundational. And the first one is that we want the Spirit because we know we need him. And very simple, very basic. We know that we need his help in our lives, right? When we really evaluate who we are, we understand we're limited. We sometimes forget things. We get confused. We're overwhelmed. We maybe lose the right perspective. We don't always understand and can't see those obstacles that are in our lives, or maybe we just want to go back to our own way. No, we maybe wish to go back to that old master of sin, and we're tempted by sin instead of really walking with the Spirit and keeping from sin. We need help to live in the faith. We need help to basically trust God with our lives, and we need help to serve well, and the Spirit helps us with all of these things. He's this constant presence for us as we go through hard times in our lives. The second desire that we have that I think is good and spiritual for the Holy Spirit is that we recognize that we need strength. We recognize that we're not enough. We can't do it on our own. Okay, and we look at Ephesians 3:16, Paul gives this prayer. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Well, why do we need power? God has given us this amazing mission, this mission to turn people back to God, okay? And we don't have words and arguments and that kind of thing that can actually convince people to come back to the Lord. Now, what I'm not saying is we do have logic, we do have a meta-narrative, we do have a cohesive and consistent understanding of our world from Scripture that tells us that God exists, that he loves us, that Jesus died for our sin, that he conquered death, and that we can have this new relationship with God through him, right? But the problem is, that's not going to change people to come back to Jesus. See, a lot of that is for the head, and the change needs to happen in the heart. If we think about our own conversion or our own turning back to God, was it a head thing or was it a heart thing? Oftentimes we can have all the knowledge and yet our hearts, we just want to do our own stuff. And so it takes the Holy Spirit to really change our hearts. And we don't have the power to change people's hearts. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to complete our mission, to seek and save and turn people back to Jesus. And so we need to depend on his strength and his influence to make the difference in the mission God has given us. Our third spiritual desire that we want to look at is we want to be led by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So I think we have this general understanding that if we lean upon our own efforts, if we just do what we think is best, we're going to mess things up. We're probably going to mess up our lives and maybe the lives around us of those that we love the most. When we consider the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit produces in us, like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, it's kind of a no-brainer, right? if we want to be led by the Spirit versus try to do things on our own. Who doesn't want love? Who doesn't want joy? But we have to come to this point where we recognize we can't do it in our own efforts, because if we do, we're just going to end up back to the bottle, right? If we depend on our own efforts and our own ability of a sharp wit and tongue and that kind of thing, it won't be long before at some point we say something almost unforgivable to our spouse and damage that relationship deeply. Or maybe we're trusting in our ability to observe and pick apart people and how they operate and that kind of thing. And we make this generalization of someone and we find out, we kind of mock them and they're not as good as other people in our minds. And we find out they have this debilitating disease and that's why they limp. If we depend on our own abilities, if we look only to what we can do, we're not going to go to what's good and what's right. We need to depend on the Spirit to help us, to lead us to what truly is love. And that's the Spirit's job. The Spirit wants to do that in us. Our fourth good spiritual desire that I want to look at this morning is that we want to serve and we want to help others. So I have two verses here, and this first one, it might be a little confusing, but we're going to kind of go through it, so bear with me on this. It's 2 Corinthians 1:22, and it says, "Set his seal of ownership on us," so God put his seal on us, "and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Okay, so the Spirit is the seal, it's the deposit of what God's going to give us in the future. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "All these," referring to gifts, and so these are talents and things that God gives to us, "are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one," meaning each of his followers, "just as he," the Spirit, "determines." All right. So the Spirit's leading in our lives actually frees us so that we can serve as God intended us to serve, as God created us to serve. The Spirit is this guarantee that we are free. And I love that so much, let me say it again. The Spirit is the guarantee that we are free. And we are freed from the chains of sin. And we're freed so that we can make this deep eternal impact as we serve others. Now, the Spirit is the one that gives us all these gifts, but he doesn't give us all the same one. He gives all of his people different gifts so that they can work together for the benefit of each other and the benefit of others as well. So we must be dependent on the Spirit so that we can serve effectively, so that our blessing can be really supernatural in people's lives. If you've been in the faith for a while, you probably experienced maybe at least a few times where someone just made a simple gesture or gave you a loving gift or a slight acknowledgement of something that was going on in your life, and it just uplifted your tired and weary soul. You know, it often doesn't take much, and yet the Spirit can see all the needs of his people, can see all the needs out there, and he orchestrates his people to serve and care for each other well and lovingly. And that's only, though, through the leading of the Spirit. So we have one more good spiritual desire I want to cover this morning, and that one is we want God. We just want God. In 1 Corinthians 2, 10b through 11, it says, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." I think we realize we can't really know God apart from him revealing who he is to us, right? We can't know God apart from the Spirit showing us. And the Spirit is the one that knows God's ways and knows God really well. Now, we could know God, say, from nature, right? That God is really orderly, that he is this amazing, like, architect and engineer, and he's able to design things with such complexity. But we're not going to know the very person of God apart from his Spirit, apart from the Holy Spirit. When we know our God, we can do the thing that we were created to do from the very beginning, and that was to image him. God wanted us to be his image bearers, to project who he is to those around us. And so we can do that, and we can project God to those who are stuck, those who maybe serve sin or just crushed by that guilt and that shame. Maybe those who are looking for trust and love and relationships and can't find it anywhere because only God loves unconditionally and only God is always good and always faithful. Our soul just longs to be with God. We want to know him and display him. And the Holy Spirit's invasion in our lives allows us to know God. Now, where are you at this morning with the Holy Spirit? Do you want something from him? Do you have these natural desires of just, you need control or you need power and fame and you just maybe want to be lazy? Do you want the Spirit of the living God to lead you, to strengthen you, to help you serve so that you can know God and know him deeply and experience him in a real, true way? I've spent a lot of my time working in my basement during quarantine, and I've had more time to connect with my family. And so my wife was talking to me one day, and I noticed that she was literally just talking at me. And so I was like, this is kind of weird. This is not normally how our conversations go. And so I kind of waited a bit to see what was going on, and she just kept talking. And I was ready to, like, give, you know, some type of response, some type of grunt or anything, but there was not even a pause in her communication to me for me to be able to say anything. And so I'm getting super frustrated by this, and I'm kind of waiting, and my frustration's building, and I kind of give up, throw my hands in the air because I'm like, man, I could set up like a cardboard life-size Nate, and my wife would be perfectly fine with this. She'd just continue on with this conversation / monologue. That's when the Spirit pressed on my heart. Nate, this is how I feel when you come to me, and you ask for all the things that you need, all the ways that I can go before you and direct your steps, soften people's hearts, change people's minds toward God, intercede and demonstrate my power, but you don't take the time to just listen to my direction and feel my comfort and hear my input. Ouch. Have you ever been there? We just talked at God instead of talking with God and allowing him to lead and direct your thoughts. Well, I want us to really end that now. I want us to take this time and reflect and think back through those things that we talked about, those natural desires that are not good, those good desires that we need to cultivate our relationship with God. Now, I want to take some time, though. I want to talk to some people who maybe have never received God before. So if that's you this morning, and you're listening to the radio this morning, or maybe you're watching this video, it's not even Sunday morning at this point, but you don't have the Spirit, and you know that you need him. Well, Jesus offers him to you right now. And the thing is, you don't need to change. You don't need to cut that quarantine hair or anything like that. God will accept you just as you are, but he asks that you acknowledge your need for him, that you acknowledge that you need to have your sin removed and that burden lifted, that you acknowledge that Jesus paid the price for your sin, that he died on the cross for you so that you could be forgiven and that you could receive the Holy Spirit. To accept that gift this morning, you just need to speak to God. You just need to talk to him and say, God, I need you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to give me your Spirit, to dwell in me, to lead me. Will you ask God for that right now? If you ask God to forgive you and you told him that you need him, he has forgiven you. And he has given he's given you his Spirit today, and you are this new creation, and all of heaven is celebrating right now, and we actually want to celebrate too. Would you text us and let us know of your decision? The number is 906-233-6611. 906-233-6611. We want to talk with you and just help you on this faith journey. And for the rest of you who know the Spirit and the Spirit is working and dwelling within you, would you make sure that you know why you want the Spirit and allow him to change your hearts, change your minds this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Spirit. And Lord, search our hearts. Weed out those terrible motives that we have that only distract us from a real and deep relationship with you. Lord, water, fertilize, and grow our relationship with you through our submission to your Spirit's leading in our lives. And Lord, we need you to just reach others, to give us the boldness to share. We need you to give us the strength to reflect your character to those around us. And Lord, we need you to invade us, to keep us mindful of your loving presence. And Lord, thank you for this time to just meet with you, to declare your greatness and your power over us in our lives. It's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.